I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama.
Welcome to the Cats and Jammer Follies, a travel story show. I'm Megan Hastings, and today we have my husband, Adam Cohn, on the show with me. And today we're going to talk about one of my personal and his own personal favorite places to go and to travel to, especially together, and it's Ireland. Welcome to the show, Adam Cohn.
Oh my gosh, it's really nice to be back here again and get a chance to hang out with you in the lovely Voice of Vashon Studios and talk a little bit about Ireland. And especially from in hearing some of your own perspective. I love it when you write about this place.
Thank you. I love it when you write about any place. Oh. Adam is an amazing writer. That's why I've only done 8 shows and he's already been on here twice.
I think you're crazy.
We've been together, we've been together many years. We're actually having our anniversary in a couple of weeks, which is great. But we've been together in Ireland many times. I don't even know how many times, really. I haven't quite counted, but probably at least like 5.
Enough to know well the train station bathrooms.
I'm going to read a story from when I was a young person living in the country of Ireland.
I thought we were still young.
We're youngish.
Youngish. Excellent.
We're on the tail end of getting to the oldish.
I love this story.
At the age of 14, I went to live in the countryside of Ireland for a year of school. It was in a small town on the River Shannon in the Midlands of County Longford. The town was called Lanesborough. My cousin Kathy had spent a year there, and she was cool. Early 80s bleach blonde hair with heavy black eyeliner, the kind that you would light with a Bic lighter to apply, burn for about 3 seconds, and while it was molten hot, you would quickly apply to the inside of your eyelids. It was a rite of passage if you were around during this time. And although I would take a much different fashion approach, my interest in her is what got me there, among other things. Our grandparents had come from the west coast of Ireland in County Mayo, and this is really where I would go in my heart. The school I went to was an all-girls school called St. Joseph's Convent of Mercy. It sat a stone's throw from the river and also one of the finest candy stores. I would walk on lunch break to either the water to get a Cadbury bar or go to the chip shop, which is where the boys would make their way on their very own lunch break. I was still pretty shy at this point, and when I think back on this place, it was loud with young girls and boys talking over each other, fighting for attention. I didn't need any other added attention. I was, after all, the Yank. My friend from Chicago had come along with me. She wanted to travel and loved the Irish music scene at the time. U2 was coming out, and on some weekends, we would spend time in Dublin in a bar near Windmill Lane, which was their recording studio at the time. We did, in fact, meet them once there, and it was amazing. Weekdays would pass like they would for so many other kids in the area. Morning would come, and Mrs. O'Sullivan would have made us brown bread in the cook stove. I would put on my navy blue school uniform, eat, and rush out the door. Days can either pass painfully slow as an outsider, full of daydreaming about home, or the kids will occupy you with questions. I always made friends pretty easy, which made this year very special for me. Weekends would come and I was allowed to travel within Ireland. Most weekends, I would go and visit my cousin Kate. To this day, I'm not really sure if she was my cousin or my grandmother's cousin or sister. I knew her only as Cousin Kate. She lived in a rural area outside of Castlebar. She was what seemed about 100, with a craggy old face. I mean, a lot of lines. She was tiny, stooped over with faded, dyed red hair with gray coming in. Her clothes were from another era. She would wear a big, blue-colored, fuzzy 60s-style jacket with a cap that cinched around her head. And her faded red hair would sneak out. But around all of this, she had a genuine smile, and she and I really, really liked one another. Her house was one that I would find myself quite often in. She would always find someone to meet me at the train and get me out there. She didn't drive. There was nothing for a girl of my age to do there, but I really loved being Irish, and I loved the ragged hills that lay beyond her cottage. It was a 3-room cottage, the main room where you walked into, which had a sink with running water, an open hearth for cooking and keeping warm, basic furniture like a couch and a few chairs. There was a framed picture of both the Pope and of John F. Kennedy. At the time, I couldn't really realize the gravity of the significance of the portrait of JFK. As a young American, I had come from a place that had heating and coffee pots. It wasn't until later in life I would really put it together that this man would mean so much to so many Irish. He made it. He really, really made it. And they were so proud that a man whose family could come from this horribly poor place and be so successful. It was glorious. This was an Ireland before the Celtic Tiger. This Ireland was still very poor, and she would be among the poorest on the West Coast. The two other rooms branched off of this room, one to the right and one to the left. The one on the left was my room. The one on the right was hers. Mine had a single wooden bed frame piled high with blankets to ward off the cold, a beautiful old armoire for clothes, and a commode to relieve oneself. This was quite novel to me. I would lay in there at night, alone, and watch the moonlight hit the walls of the room and reflect onto a crucifix. I was still, mostly from the cold that no matter how many hot water bottles you have, you cannot shake. But it was quiet in a way I was so intrigued with, hadn't really known before, and really responded to, for that moment anyway. Day would come, and I would empty the commode out the back door in the field. She made tea and bread with butter, thick Irish butter and real cream, thick, almost hard to pour from the creamer. She lived so rurally that grocery trucks would make its way to all the old farmers or the widowers, which she was of the latter. She would get rutabagas, potatoes, onions, cabbage, and some meat. Then she would turn to me and then turn back to the man on the truck and request a nut and fruit Cadbury bar. Her husband had died many years before I ever came around. And in her youth, she had been quite a handsome woman and married later in life and never had kids of her own. I think this is why she was quite fond of me. Most nights we would stay home and she would cook the meat and veg on the hearth. I would pick around the meat and eat all the vegetables in the pot. After dinner, she would pull out her bottle of sherry, but just for a nip, she would turn and ask me, "Well now, Megan, would you like a drink?" "Yes, Cousin Kate, I'm 14. I do want a drink." Some nights we would go out to the pub. She would have a small beer and sit with that hat pulled tightly around her, snug in her jacket. I would watch her listening to the traditional music being played, watch everyone there and their country faces and out-of-date clothing, smiles and laughter, and I couldn't have been happier. Eventually, someone would bring us home, and we would return to our respective rooms to look at the light from moon and hear the wind. Sundays were big days for us. It would be Mass in the morning, which she took very seriously. I remember one time I didn't go up for communion, and later she came up to me and she asked, "Well, now, why didn't you take the body of Christ?" "I don't know. I didn't have an answer. I just feel like it isn't the answer she wanted." Slowly, we made our way back to the train station from the church. We would say goodbye until next time. I would see her many times over the year, and one last time before she herself would make her way up to see her Christ. The last time I saw her, I was 19, and my friend and I went for a visit. When I got back into what was my room, I pulled back the covers to find them completely covered in mold from the damp and lack of use. that no one had gone to stay with her for many years after I'd left. This was heartbreaking to me. But it shouldn't have been. She was happy. I just wish that I had been there when she was, that I had been there when she died. But I was 19, and at that point, onto bigger, other things, big, loud, crowded, American things. My world would change, and this countryside would be a faraway memory. It would be a place, for some reason, I just couldn't get back to. I would talk about it and dream about it. I wish I could have seen that house one more time and warm myself by the hearth with her smiling at me. It would take me almost 2 years, or rather 2 decades, to physically make my way back to this rural Ireland. Here's to you, Cousin Kate.
That was really beautiful. That was crazy.
Thank you, Matt.
Love it when you talk about this place, those ragged hills and the Cadbury bars and chip shops. It's the River Shannon is the name of the river where near where that little school was. And I remember one time after maybe too many pints of beer in a late train, resting or laying down or passing out on the shores of the River Shannon late in the fall. And I really, that was the beginning of really falling in love with this place and being there together with you.
It was great. It was magical to get to show it to you for the first time. It was, when I said I wouldn't go back for 2 decades, the first time since like 1990, I think it was, we went back in 2007. So it had been so long, 17 years.
I know, it's nuts. Yeah. And on those trips and those since then, look, we've continued to look for Cousin Kate's house and gotten closer, traveled around Westport and
she died. And
she did.
And I, you know, it was before the internet. I didn't keep in contact with a lot of people from my grandma's side of the family. On my grandfather's side of the family, I know people and they're in Westport, but it was special to have contact with this particular person and know that lineage, but I don't know anybody else.
And as there's three styles of houses in Ireland, and there's the small, low cabin, the large one, and the elongated version. Yeah, it's hard to
This past January, we went, thank God we got to take this trip before COVID happened, but my sister came and a couple friends, and Adam and I met with a couple cousins of mine, and we went out to my grandfather's house, which is, like I said, outside of Westport in County Mayo, and it was amazingly special. It's literally ruins now, but I got to take home a couple stones from the house, and that was really amazingly special.
All this and the smell of sheep poop in the winter air. I know, it's good. It's good.
With not proper shoes on.
Absolutely. Well, you know, for my own story today, or a little essay,
Adam, what are you going to talk about?
I wanted to share this place. You know, this country, Ireland, meant so much to both Megan and myself that after much deliberation and thinking about things, and then just feeling a little bit crazy, we found and looked for and found and bought a little stone house of our own, also with modest amenities.
What we did?
Shut up! Yeah, and this is an essay that I wanted to get down shortly after we. got home from seeing it for the first time, like as the owners. And I wanted to write down what that felt like and what the firsthand account was. And we were traveling with our little terrier, Lucky, who, although he can't see or hear, he was born that way. He has a lot of fantastic qualities that...
He has a lot of feelings about things.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Many opinions.
So I'll just go ahead and begin.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Oh my gosh. This is April 23rd, 2018. And so, as it would turn out, we, Megan and myself, our small terrier, Lucky, we bought a small house in Ireland. Small is relative. It is, in fact, quite reasonably sized by Irish standards, made of stone and with a dark slate roof to match. Gently worn wooden doors lead into nearby adjoining stone cottage and studio. Even a stone greenhouse at the far end of the immediate property, outfitted with fiberglass roof and the terracotta remains of summers past, as well as the enthusiastic efforts of wishful vegetable growing in the wild and woolly west of County Mayo, Megan's home county, where both her grandparents emigrated from to America so many years ago. It is important to note that my lovely and eccentric wife is the first, as well as the only person in her family to have returned for reasons complicated and simple, a desire to be a part of this little, windy, and very wet country, caught, or rather enchantingly placed, between the Atlantic Ocean and the Irish Sea. Home. Of the many photographs I've taken from the convenient vantage point of my fancy phone, there are a few that really stand out as treasures. Megan standing on a windy, bright afternoon in front of our house, Tavron, as it is called, with our little dog Lucky, whose white fur and tail blow in the ever-present wind. She, Megan, is wearing colorful gloves, for it is freezing, although April, and will stay cold for the duration of our holiday. Although at the time of this photograph, this first day together, we think nothing of it, and her smile is easy and content, standing in the tall, unkempt grasses and blackberry vine that grow in the field just in front of the house. A bit of the old sod, words are ridiculous and ineffectual real estate agent delivered after hearing that we, a couple of Yanks, were inquiring about this old place a year ago now, last March. A rotund imbecile of a man, he did us no favors aside from the hurried 25 or so minutes that it took to begrudgingly drive us out from Clare Morris to Kilkelly, and 3 kilometers past to the small villages of Kilmovery and eventually Tavron to see the house. Set upon approximately an acre, the house is built entirely again of fieldstone and comprised of 2 stories. A small kitchen to the rear of the house, and currently its main entry, lets one into a small tiled room and pantry, replete with a gentle profile of a large painted dragon, lilac in color, and surrounded by cows cows in a field with a beguiling toothy grin painted on the old wooden door leading into the pantry. The makeshift kitchen is in fact quite deluxe. A large white porcelain sink looks out onto an overgrown patio or courtyard of sorts that then looks out over a low stone fence to a much larger field beyond. And from here, a row of mature cottonwoods whose bare branches catch the morning or late afternoon sunlight, whenever such spectacular and albeit rare moments as sunlight do occur. More fields beyond this kitchen view, and more beyond that. Small fences and outcroppings of stone interspersed with shocks of bright green new growth and the matted neutral browns of last year's field grass. To the right of the sink, a small homemade cutting board table, butcher block style, rests conveniently to the immediate left of a very nice, that is to say, fancy gas range, stainless steel and imported from America. Although small, this room is completely functional, and Megan made beautiful dinners with the unusual variety of vegetables, grains, pastas, and cheeses that we could find over the course of our holiday. Only in the last week did we make the discovery of a small, well-stocked Syrian grocery, Aleppo, in the neighboring town of Ballyhannis, a quiet 15-minute drive from the house. Our on country roads inhabited by cows and sheep and baby spring lambs, all whose rumps painted a different color of blue or pink, depending to which farm they respectively called home. A small doorway leads off the kitchen into a living room, an adjoining parlor or extra bedroom. Painted warm red with a cheery white wooden ceiling and pine floor, this parlor was the first place Megan and Lucky and I sat in together on an old Victorian settee, green velvet, left behind by the previous owners. We lit a small fire in the ornate cast iron fireplace and drank Coronas fresh from Megan's purse. What a funny beer to have so far from home, and with our little dog nestled in between us in this musty old house that would later become our special place. It was a wonderful beginning, auspicious and downright silly, as we had to be taxied out to the house by our good-natured innkeeper, Maureen Duffy. A generous and kind woman, Maureen single-handedly ran Duffy's bed and breakfast and bar in the nearby town of Kilkelly, with help from her husband, Kevin. Not only is Duffy's the only bed and breakfast, but luckily for ourselves, was dog-friendly and also operated a small taxi service to the nearby Knock Airport, 5 kilometers or so away. The parlor, as I imagine it was called, is separated from the larger dining living room by a wooden staircase painted or stained a warm blue-green. Like our stairs at home on Vashon, the little dog has learned his way up and down these stairs that led to what would become our bedroom and also the bathroom for the house. Illuminated by a single window, deeply framed and painted blue, this living room had its own traditional hearth-style fireplace and crane, a cast iron swing of sorts that would, with the help of iron hooks, allow for food to be cooked, kettles of water to be boiled, and washed clothing to dry. The true heart of all our Irish houses, and from what I can tell, the sole form of heat in days gone by prior to the advent of radiators and boilers and wood stoves and the like. In a country such as this one, the wet and long rainy seasons that are ubiquitous to Ireland, I am convinced firsthand of the true necessity of these hearths. Traditional stone houses, like ours, are not insulated, and to challenge the dampness is a daily effort that can be exhausting to both the spirit and body alike. Chilled to the bones, a common enough expression, quickly takes on new meaning here. And we are thankful not only for the many fires we built over the last 4 weeks to stay warm, but also for the luxurious heat that 3 space heaters provided us with day in and day out. I am personally indebted to one in particular, a large black upright model whose heat output was enormous, owing to the fact that it ran on propane gas and was hooked up to a large orange cylinder, or bombola, as they are called in Italy. Centered in the middle of the downstairs, under the edge of the stairwell, this heater ran constantly over the course of the holiday, heating and drying both ourselves, as well as freshly washed underpants, pants and towels, shoes, you name it. Again, it is important to note that I changed this emptied bombola 3 times over the course of the time that we were at the house. I remember one evening, after much red wine, crawling into a cold bed with Megan and Fortunato, with that little dog's Italian name, wearing 2 sweaters, pants, and alpine wool stocking cap on my head. Megan leaned over and kissed me goodnight, and laughing in that way that made me first fall in love with her, she said, "I love you. It's our cold vacation." Then kissed me again, and turning back over, holding the little dog close to her, proceeded to allocate most of the 1 comforter we had for both her and Lucky's secure warmth. From the warm grace of this Holiday Inn Express Motor Lodge back stateside, I too can laugh. Although, at the time, listening to the driving wind and rain outside. None of it felt that humorous. The things we do for love. The things we do for love.
Up on Cypress Avenue. Call one more time. Up on Cypress Avenue. And I'm conquered in a car seat. Nothing that I can do. I may go crazy before that mansion on the hill.
That's one of my most favorite Van Morrison songs ever. It's called Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill. That's a band. It's called Cypress Hill.
Yeah, Cypress Hill.
Although I like Cypress Hill too. Cypress Avenue is it's a fancy street up in Belfast. And if you, I'm sure that there are many crazy Van Morrison fans like myself and Adam who've made their way up to this Cypress Avenue where there are these beautiful mansions, as he says, up on the hill.
It is beautiful up there. I know that we were traveling around by buses after a train, and we were tired. And again, of course, it's cold, right? But I know that you and I know we got into an argument. I had bought some kind of stocking cap. I didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot of discretionary income. Still don't. But I bought this stocking cap, and it meant a lot to me because it was like my one treasure from this trip, right? And so I leave it on a bus, and I'm so mad about that. And I get off the bus, and we're on Cypress Avenue now. And for something, one thing led to another, and we're just aggravated
with
each
other. And then I'm like... freaking out, and
then Megan yells.
Storm off.
You storm off, and you Megan is at the point where you're at the point where you demand your passport back, right? Which I don't even know if I have. Who knows where they are? But anyway, a camera is broken, and it doesn't really matter because you know we find ourselves again in a little pub, which is easy to do there.
And then it's fine, and then we kiss and make up. Right. And the funny thing about how beautiful and wonderful and magical Ireland is that. We got on a bus to go back to wherever we were going. I'm not really sure. And his cap was sitting right there next to driver.
That's right. It was right there waiting for me to come back. Yeah. God bless anyone that chooses to travel with us because it's always kind of crazy. And also blind dogs, you know, that's a real gift.
Yeah, but, it's a real gift. But we do have a lot of fun.
We do. Thank you so much for having me back again on the show, Megan.
Adam, you are always welcome.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you so much. This has been the Cats and Jammer Follies. Thank you very much to Voice of Vashon, and I hope to see or hear you guys next week. Thank you.